5 o'clock hour of Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo with you live at Amerant Bank Arena. You got Panthers Capitals tonight, 7 p.m. We got a packed show. Appreciate Steve Palazzino giving us the time. We're going to also talk to Gabby Allen, who's the in-arena host, in just about 30 minutes, so stay tuned for that. We're up until 6 p.m. today. Panthers looking to build off a good home record, 5-1-1 at home, but they're only 8-7-1, only 3-6 on the road to this point throughout the season. So now they got a little bit of a homestand. They got away from their West Coast tour, and we'll see what they could do tonight against the Capitals, who are also sitting at 17 points, 8-7-1. Christian Catt is our producer behind the glass at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. We're streaming on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter /X at ESPN West Palm, ESPN South Florida. Christian, welcome in. How are you today? What's going on?
Doing very good. I'm glad you asked. I really am glad you asked. Very good, Colin.
And well, tell me about this event that we got coming up, perhaps affiliated with Boston.
Oh, yeah, up the road in Palm Beach Gardens. Boston has their own TGL team. It's called the Boston Common. And the inaugural Boston Common Golf Tea Party is coming up a week from Friday. It's next Friday, Friday, November 21st. It's the Boston Common Golf Tea Party presented by Comcast Business. It's in the beautiful, incredible SoFi Center. It's not your average golf event. World-famous singer-songwriters Niall Horan and Noah Kahan, both ambassadors for Boston Common Golf, they're going head-to-head in a nine-hole TGL-style match. Joining the fun, the guys from the Kings of YouTube Golf, Good Good Golf, that's Garrett Clark, Matt Scharf, Sean Walsh, Brad Dalkey. They're changing the way golf is played and enjoyed. They will be there. Everyone's mic'd up. Fans will hear every shot, every laugh, every moment. And Bubby and Mo from Good Good will be your hosts of the evening. It's going to be really fun. Interactive fan activities, live entertainment, golf like you've never seen it before. Fast fun, full of surprises. Be part of it. It's simple. BostonCommonGolf.com/teaparty. That's BostonCommonGolf.com/TEE party. T spelled the golf way. Be part of history Friday, November 21st, 7 p.m. at the SoFi Center in Palm Beach Gardens. Trust me, you are not going to want to miss this one-of-a-kind event, the inaugural Boston Common Golf Tea Party presented by Comcast Business.
Well, it's November 13th, a Thursday, and it's Military Appreciation Night here at Amerant Bank Arena with the Florida Panthers, honoring a ton of veterans tonight. They've honored up to 500 this point this season. You could go write letters to troops overseas with the Mission United table down here at the plaza level. You could do a whole bunch, a ton of honorary stuff going on tonight at Amerant Bank Arena. But in the meantime, let's bounce around. Let's have a little fun. Let's do a little 5 for 5 presented by Flagler Credit Union.
Five topics.
High five.
5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Endless takes.
You can't handle the truth.
All gas, no brakes.
And it's shaking big time.
It's time for the 5 at 5.
Hold on to your butts.
Presented by Flagler Credit Union, proud supporter of FAU Athletics. Number one.
Well, you guys brought it up to Uncle Steve before the break. We're going to find out who the American League MVP is later on today. Aaron Judge, Cal Raleigh. Who should be the MVP? Not who you think is going to win it, but who should win the American League MVP?
This is easy for me. I'm gonna hijack it first, if you don't mind. Raleigh, because we've never seen it at the position. It's that simple for me. Judge will win because of the Yankee factor, Colin, but Raleigh because of the significance he had at the position, arguably the greatest single season in catcher history in the MLB.
Yeah, I mean, if we go head-to-head, here's what it looks like. Raleigh played 159 games. Judge played 152. Judge has more hits, better batting average, better OBP, better slugging, better all those statistics of getting on base. OPS and OPS Plus are both all far better than Raleigh. What does Raleigh have him on? He has him in games played appearances, but he has 60 home runs comparatively to Judge's 53. He's 125 RBIs comparatively to Judge's 114. And he even has more stolen bases at 14 comparatively to Judge's 12. And on top of that, he's a catcher. And he's caught most of the games this season. I believe he only had about 20-something games at DH. Don't fact-check me on that. But let's think about this. Cal Raleigh, comparatively to Judge, and Judge had a lot of games at DH throughout the year, because Stanton wasn't healthy, and Judge had his fair share of games where he was not playing the field. So that's one thing you got to consider. This is a hitting award versus a hitting award. The one thing you got to consider with Rally, yes, Rally was probably not as much of a valuable hitter comparatively to what Aaron Judge did this year. But Cal Rally, I'd make an argument. Number one, had better postseason moments. I know it doesn't have anything to do with the ballot. But number two is he caught and called games for maybe one of, if not the best rotations in the league throughout the regular season. That's George Kirby, that's Castillo, that's Brian Wu. I mean, a lot of big-time players, Logan Gilbert. And he was their pick of catcher for just about every single pitcher. So this is somebody who caught a good bullpen, caught a good rotation, and on top of that was a dynamite hitter. And RBIs on the Seattle Mariners is not easy because they don't have a lot of run support throughout the year. Is Judge a better player? Yes. Is Judge a Hall of Famer? Yes. Did Judge get screwed at 2017's MVP to Jose Altuve? Yes. Did Altuve win because of the batting averages and advanced hitting statistics?
No, the cheating.
Right. You know, a better hitter, not as good of a power hitter, and that's the reason Altuve won in 2017? Yes. Is that the right thing to do to make sure that we keep our standard that we set back in 2017? I don't personally think so. I think the right thing to do is to give it to the guy who had the most impactful year. That is the switch-hitting catcher who had 60 home runs, 125 RBIs, who caught and was a good defensive catcher at that. To me, this is Rally. Would I be surprised if Judge gets it? Absolutely not. He's the more valuable player probably at its root, but Rally had the better year.
And I know a Yankee fan probably doesn't want to hear. He can win it next year. No, because my best guess is Rally doesn't reciprocate.
He can
win it next year. All right, give me a break.
Judge is going to be a Hall of Famer regardless. But, I mean, that's pretty story territory to be at three MVPs.
But look, and the thing I'm on and that I refuse to get off of, there's something to be said about the best statistical season at your position. Like, catcher's a throwaway position. Austin Hedges hit like 100 for the Guardians this year.
Yeah, you have to make a decision between defense and offense.
And he does both. And all those stats you went through, Colin, tells me he had historically the best hitting season in catcher history. And
the highest home run switch hitting season.
And was one of the better defensive catchers in the league. Guys loved having Cal Rally call their games to catch their games that were on that pitching staff for the Mariners. It's a no-brainer for me. I feel bad for Judge. I do. I mean, it's just he's the better player. Kyle hit the nail on the head for all that. I'm not going to regurgitate it. But for the season at the position, it's Rally.
Christian Cat, where do you stand on this?
Yeah, I honestly forgot about this argument. Like,
I don't like how they're announcing it now. This should be announced during the postseason.
It'll be
at
Judge.
Some point.
It'll be
and
Judge.
I don't like how they did the Cy Young yesterday. You know, they did the Rookie of the Year 3 days ago. I don't like how they're spreading it out because I think baseball, yes, had an amazing finish 10 days ago, 11, 12 days ago. It's lost its steam. Now we're in football mode right now. I'm in college basketball mode on top of that. We get Miami playoffs.
Right.
Baseball season's finished. I don't like how they're announcing this after the season. But go ahead.
Yeah, I think Aaron Judge should be the MVP, and it's tough to answer either way because I am a Yankees fan, and that implicit bias is there deep dart in my soul. But I think if you ask the Mariners' blind resume, no emotions attached to it, looking at the numbers of Aaron Judge, including his position, they would take Aaron Judge, and the Yankees would as well. Just the numbers are the numbers, regardless of position. And I know it matters that you're a catcher, and I know that matters it's never been done before, but Aaron Judge provided more value, if you ask me, to the Yankees than Rally did to the Mariners.
And my two cents, it'll be Judge because of the Yankee factor, the brand.
I think it's because Judge is the better player factor, and I think people know that. And I think that I do think 2017 is going to sit with voters. I think the fact that he didn't win it in 2017 because he was a power hitter and he lost to the guy who's the better all-around hitter, I think they're going to keep that standard. I do think that's going to matter. What is that, number one? Let's go to number two.
Number two.
Staying in baseball because Tarik Skubal, he won the second straight AL Cy Young Award. And how about the Pirates? Paul Skenes won the NL Cy Young in his second year in baseball. If you could have either of these guys at the same price for the next 5 years, which one are you taking?
Oh, I'm taking Skenes. I think Skenes, the thing about Skubal, we know how dominant Skubal is. I mean, he controls every postseason game he plays. He's an awesome player to watch. But in terms of the next 5 years, Skubal, I believe, is 29, turning 30. Skenes, 23 maybe?
Yeah,
20,
so you
he's
hit the,
23?
So hit the nail on the head. So actually, Skubal's 28.
He's 28, turning 29.
But he's got a birthday in 7 days,
yes,
in a week. And then Skeensy is 23. Doesn't turn 24 until next May.
I mean, Skeens is my age. I mean, I know. That's crazy. Yeah. I know Skeens just actually just moved you to South Florida. And I believe the event that he has for the party for the Cy Young was up in down not far from West Palm. But Skeens, to me, pitching is the type of thing where you gotta just view it isolated comparatively. It's hard to judge it on wins. It's hard to judge it on run support because it's so different per team. Pirates were a little bit more adequately suited for Tarek Skubal's talents. That's why it probably looked better. But
yeah.
Skeens, he's going to get forgotten about because he's on the Pirates. So, and we're not going to see him play in a big game until he hits free agency in 2029.
Believe it or not, Kyle, the headlines today were reporters were asking him about playing for the Yankees already.
Well, because there was whether a fabricated or not fabricated report about Paul Skeens allegedly telling Pirates teammates, people close to him that got to a actual beat writer, saying that he doesn't think the Pirates can do it. He wants to play for a he wants to play for the Yankees eventually. Hopes he gets traded before.
But like that's his. If
that's what everybody is assuming Paul Skeens thinks.
Correct. But Christian, you asked me for the next 5 years. The answer is Skeens because he's 23. If you would have asked who do you want next season, I'm going Tarek Skubal. Skubal is a unicorn that is the lefty. Throws 102 and can single-handedly win you a playoff game. I love Skeens. Okay, don't get me wrong.
You saw it die.
I love him.
Guardians game one.
Correct. Skubal is that factor. And you saw it in the Mariners series too. Yep. I can't remember off the top of my head if they ended up blowing it in the ninth or the eighth when Skubal was out. But for the next 5 years, Skeens. Next year, Skubal. What's number three?
Number three.
Let's go to the big screen. Big movie news because the SpongeBob movie, Search for SquarePants, is in theaters December 19th.
It's going to
be
in 3D. I'm a movie guy. Yeah. I'm a movie guy. I've never even heard of this. What's the story? What's the question here? Is there something that happened?
What's the greatest cartoon of your childhood?
Well, I'm an anime guy. It's Naruto for me.
Not Avatar Naruto. The Last Airbender?
If it's cartoon, Christian, I will go with SpongeBob. Just because it had a big impact. You know, I would watch with my sister. I'd babysit my sister. You know, and SpongeBob is ageless. I mean, that stuff's funny. SpongeBob is funny.
I enjoy
SpongeBob is funny.
As a kid, I was like a SpongeBob guy, too.
Well, that sucks to me.
I like Family Guy. I think Family Guy is really funny.
Does that count as a childhood cartoon?
It does not.
I don't think it does. That's a raunchy, adult humor show.
I mean, if I'm being honest, it's Pokemon and Naruto. Both of them had a big impact on my life. I still don't watch
Family Guy. I believe it's still on Fox, but I don't watch it. But, I mean, growing up, I watched the Christmas episode every year, the Family Guy Christmas episode. I watched that every year.
I brain rot Christian with Family Guy clips on Instagram, can't lie.
Yeah.
Hysterical. The dancing lobster.
I haven't even heard of that.
Well, the first SpongeBob movie
I'm blown away. I didn't hear about that.
The first SpongeBob was great.
Christian.
Which one is this?
Can I give you? All right, which one is this? It's this one. All bubble-blowing babies will be beaten senseless by every able person in the bar.
In the bar.
Is this about the one with David Hasselhoff?
Yeah.
Yes.
That one's great. That one he's
King
between
City,
his pecs.
Queen
that's,
City.
That's
what's, no, Shell City. Shell, you know, they made
yeah,
it Shell City.
Yeah, you
need
to go down. Yeah.
Yeah.
David Hasselhoff.
And you know, every kid cried in the movie theater when they were frying up under the the megascope.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to miss
a couple of goofballs.
I'm gonna have to miss the new SpongeBob movie.
I'm with Colin on that, sadly.
But I did not know they had a new movie coming out. How about that?
Speaking of cartoons and anime, I'm gonna take my shot here. You know, I'm episode 750 of One Piece. I'm almost caught up. I'm almost caught up with One Piece.
You got to go see the Bruce Springsteen movie. You're making a mistake.
Yeah, but here's it, Kyle. Here's the thing. So, Christian, you'll like this. I told Colin, I already have my flight movie for when I go home in two weeks from now. I downloaded the Bob Dylan movie.
You downloaded it 2 weeks in advance?
Yeah, I downloaded it.
Mike, that's smart because I always forget to download stuff on my flights.
Yeah, because it's an early flight. Colin, it's an early flight, and I know I'm going to be a zombie driving to Lauderdale Airport.
What time's the flight?
About 6:30 in the morning, so... So the first flight out.
I don't know if you'll be able to stay to watch that.
No, I can't. I cannot sleep in car or airplane, guy.
Oh, you can't do it.
I can't do it.
I
can't sleep when it's light outside. Like I am that type of person to where it has to be nighttime. It has to be nighttime for me to go to bed.
Okay. Wow. I can sleep on the plane. That's part of the reason why I fly in the morning every single time.
But I sent Colin Christian on the movie thing. I sent Colin a movie today. Was that the first you saw it, or did you see that
movie? I've known about this
for
some time.
Explain it for me, because I really liked it.
So the new Chalamet movie
you're
into. It's coming out on Christmas. It's about a ping pong player called Marty Supreme. And it's about a real guy named Marty. I don't think it's Marty something. And he's a ping pong player, and he's like an eccentric figure.
But he's
like
a degenerate too. You know, yeah. Guns, drugs, money. You know, the whole thing. It looks very entertaining.
Chalamet is controlled. He's had 3 straight years where he's had a movie come out on Christmas, and it's going to be 4 because Dune 3 is coming out next Christmas.
And you told me this is his what movie comparatively to what?
Yeah, people have compared it to, like, you know, Leo DiCaprio has his Wall Street. This is his Wolf of Wall Street movie. So, like, it's, you know, raunchy, rated R, that type of thing.
We got to get you a movie endorsement.
What do you mean?
We got to get you a movie. Is Paramount looking for local broadcasting? We got to do a segment on movies.
The only movie endorsement. Who's the lady that's in the AMC theaters that sits down before every
Nicole
movie?
Nicole Kidman.
Yes. She's the only one that has it. You got to get her job.
She's AMC. We got to figure it out for this kid.
There he is. Doug Plagan's the voice of the Florida Panthers right there walking by. But
Number 4.
Yeah, that's movie. I agree. We need a movie segment. A movie show. I can do it. Go ahead.
We're going to go to baseball once again because the Tampa Bay Rays, they're going home. The Rays announced today that it will return to an updated Tropicana Field for the 2026 season after playing the entirety of the 2025 home schedule at Steinbrenner Field in Tampa while the Hurricane Milton damage was repaired. When you look back at it, in hindsight, was this the only move to make, or was it embarrassing to have a Major League Baseball team play its home games at a divisional rival's spring training facility?
I think the fact Steinbrenner Field is a great field.
It is.
I think the fact that they didn't make the postseason helps it a little bit because I think everybody's got used to it. Tampa Bay is not, it's not, Tropicana Field is embarrassed with.
I disagree there.
Why? Because they have never, nobody's ever there.
It's in a terrible spot. I am one of the few. And
our director of ops,
Dave Druda, by the way, big Tampa guy. He agrees with me. I like watching ball games there. It's air conditioned. I went to about 20 games as a kid. I mentioned my mother and her ties to the Treasure Island area, Tampa area.
It's not in downtown. It's also not in downtown Tampa.
It was fun to go to those games. I'm one of the few.
They need a field in downtown Tampa. That's what they need.
I'm one of the few that actually like going to Tropicana. I am. I'm one of the few that actually like going there.
Number 5.
We've got Thursday night football, Jets, Patriots on Amazon Prime at 8:15 p.m. Patriots, 12.5-point favorites. Will you be watching this game?
I will be here at the Panthers, but I got my setup already. You ready for this? So tonight, I'm going to be up in the press box, and I'll be watching the Panthers Capitals, and then I will also have on Thursday night football. I got my computer with me. I got my phone with me. Patriots, Jets, and then I'm going to have my phone with Purdue, Alabama, regular season college basketball.
That's a good game. That's a hell of a game.
Hell of a game. So I'm actually, I'm set. I'm going to have three games all set.
And quickly, you're high on that Bama team this year.
I saw them play live against St. John's at MSG on Saturday. And that team can win it all. They're that good. And that game is tonight at 7 p.m. as well, ESPN2. So I will be watching that. I'll be watching the Panthers. And I'll also be watching Thursday Night Football. Christian, I got a good sports event ahead of me.
Christian, I'm on plus 14 Jets and the under. I'm going to bank on it being a close game. I think the Jets are going to mud it up.
Did you already put that ticket in?
I put the ticket in of that and the Panther puck line at 1.5. Okay. Why did it go up? Did I get screwed?
No. Well, if it went up, you would have been fortunate, or you would have been screwed if it went up.
Or sorry, you know what I mean? Did it go down? Did I lose odds there?
Yeah, money's coming in on the underdog in this game.
Okay.
Now it's at 13. So if you got 14, good for you. You got a really good number.
Yeah. That's me. 14, and that over/under was sitting around 43, Christian. If you're on your phone, I don't have it in front of me at the moment.
Okay, so people are thinking the Jets are going to compete tonight, similar to you. I don't think so. I think this is going to be a blowout.
Kyle, you bought me into obviously the Panthers tonight. But you bought me in on that. I'm going to have 2 screens tonight. Obviously, Amazon, I can't do the multi-box on YouTube TV, even though YouTube TV is on my poop list. I'm going to have football big screen and then Panthers and that basketball game on the YouTube TV tonight.
There you go. It's good sports night. Underrated sports night. You know, the Thursday night game is not great. It stinks. But if it ends up being a halfway decent game.
Who am I looking out for Bama? So, obviously, with Purdue, is Fletcher Lawyer still there?
The same crew
Smith,
for Purdue.
Smith.
Yes, they're
Braden
all there.
Smith.
They're all there.
Who am I looking out for at Purdue? Because all those kids go to the league.
Yeah, they're all going to be – it's the same team as last year.
Yeah, my guy Spears is gone from OU, the Bobcat.
Yes, he's gone from Alabama.
Gone. Yeah, he's gone.
You'll see the three guards at Alabama, so that'll be a good game.
Okay.
And I like regular season hoops, college basketball, especially early, because all these good teams play each other. It's so much different than college football, because college football, none of these teams want to play each other. College basketball, all of them want to play each other because they need to get the wins because there's a metric attached to it. That was our 5-5 presented by Flagler Credit Union. That's, again, Thursday night football tonight. You got Caps visiting the Panthers at Amerant Bank Arena, which we're live on site right now. And then you also, if you're looking for a college basketball game tonight, Purdue, Alabama is pretty dang good. So if you need something to watch, look no further than that. Allow me, if there's nobody alive to plug college basketball, then I'm dead. I'll be the last one to plug college basketball cows come home. I'll tell you that.
We'll get John Fanton.
We'll get Fanton one of these days. So what we will do, first things first, we got to do a couple things here. Number one, we're going to have to do a top 10 later on in the show. And we're going to have to figure out our NFL power rankings for top 10. And then on top of that, tomorrow we'll do our cover 5 because I think we're both on the other side for the game night.
Correct.
We know we're not going to take Panthers-Jets.
Correct.
I
would take Jets 14, but it's okay. We'll do it tomorrow.
Well, since Christian knows what the slate looks like in terms of the sporting events when Christian's on his way home, if you want to come up with a little movie environment, or better yet, you want to get some hot food, I'm sure Christian's going to make a stop at a racetrack on his way.
I found an incredible deal at the racetracks across Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast. How about this breakfast meal deal? Plan this as a part of your morning routine starting immediately. For just $4 at every racetrack, you get a breakfast sandwich, a hash brown, and a small coffee. Yes, you heard that correctly. $4 for that breakfast sandwich, hash brown, and small coffee at a racetrack. It's your one-stop shop for your football Friday nights. They're your one-stop shop for everything you need. Convenience. Just a one-stop place that has your cold drinks. It has your hot food. It has the gas you need. It has delicious pizza, breakfast pizza. Racetrack has 7.5 million customers strong every single week. Why? Because they're the best, and everyone knows it, and they pour into our local communities. They are the number one fan of our local high school football teams. Incorporate them into your football Friday night schedules as we get into playoffs, because they will be rooting on our teams that are on the sidelines here in Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast. And by the way, don't forget about that $4 meal deal, breakfast sandwich, hash brown, small coffee at your local racetrack. Take advantage, because you never know when it might be too late. Racetrack, they have whatever gets you going.
Mike, has your opinion on Aaron Glenn changed at all to this point last couple weeks?
They play hard for him. The biggest thing for me, and I know the Brownies stink, okay? They're bad. But to win that game following Sauce Gardner getting traded, following Quinnen Williams getting traded, that took some guts. It did. Took some guts when
they had Garrett Wilson basically for a month and a half. They lost him again. He's just on injury reserve.
I am on the side of the Jets in the points tonight. He could coach next year. He's no longer like, hey, you're going to be done at the end of the year.
I agree with that.
He's coaching next year.
He's quite a disaster.
Because I think that's what you're basically asking, Kyle, because I have said he could be a one and done. They play hard for him. He's not losing a locker room. That's the biggest thing. I thought at some point maybe the locker room would be lost.
It's been bad with media, but shocker, you know?
Right. And, I mean, it's New York. Who isn't bad with the New York media? I actually do give him some credit there. But I think they play hard for him. There's something to be said about that.
I agree. I think the substance of what they're looking like, basically, for what they have versus what it looks like, I think that will buy him quite a bit of time, because I think that at the very least – there are guys there who they show up, whether it's the right scheme or he's handling in and outs of halftime, you know, clock management. If he's handling all that incorrectly, okay, that's fine. He's a first-year coach at the end of the day, and they're not playing the highest leverage of situations. They're not a playoff team. I think what you need to see is that the players like him, the players respect him, players play hard for him, and you're convinced that with the right roster, he could actually translate to playoff wins. If you get that idea, and I'm not sure if you'll be able to get that idea this year, 2-3 years, if you get that point, then I think it's going to be we're going to be seeing him there for a while.
I'm interested to see what decision they make at quarterback.
It's going to be a rookie, 1,000.
Yeah, and I think that's when – I don't want to say you could be critical of Glenn. Like, look what happened to Dable.
That's how you judge it.
Look what happened to
Dable. Quarterback, how do they develop him? Or how are they going to deploy him?
Kyle, for instance, look what happened to Dable. You know, Dable and Christian, I said at the time, I said that this was his only move. His last move to save his job was Jackson Dart, and he squandered it by the way he played the kid. By the runs and the hits and getting his bell rung and the going into the tent, you know, that's why he lost his job. So I want to see what young quarterback they draft and the system in the offense that they're going to put in place. Because Glenn's a defensive guy. It's important for these defensive guys to get the right offensive minds to work with the young quarterback.
Mike McDaniel.
He's still the coach of the Dolphins. I agree with you. I think he is going to be fired at season's end. He would disagree.
Mike McDaniel. I'm calling my shot now.
He would disagree after he was on La Sola, allegedly on La Sola's
Saying
Boulevard.
Saying Cage Hall to the Madrid media yesterday. Mike McDaniel.
Tough look.
When he is the next offensive coordinator, keep an eye out. Keep an eye out. Because I don't think he's going to be at the Miami Dolphins next year. He will be. Think about the Vic Fangios, the Vance Josephs of the world, you know, the Steve Spagnuolos, and Spags might leave. But, you know, those type of former head coaches, I don't know if they want to give it another rip. That could be a Mike McDaniel. He'll be a highly Robert Sala. McDaniel, if he gets fired, yeah, will be a hot commodity for an offensive coordinator role.
Is there someone in college that got the sack? Is there an offensive guy in college?
I mean, that's a big jump. I don't know if a college guy is going to want to shift back up
to the
NFL.
You've seen Joe Brady do it. Yeah, that's the only reason I ask.
Maybe. We'll see. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo live at Amerant Bank Arena for Panthers Capitals tonight. On the other side, we'll see if we can talk to Gabby Allen, the in-arena host at Amerant Bank Arena. We're going to have that, our top 10 NFL power rankings, all to come right here. We'll take a timeout. Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo live at Amerant Bank Arena for a little Panthers-Capitals action back at the home turf down here in Sunrise, Florida tonight, 7 p.m. On TV. You can watch that there. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo. We got a special guest with us. He's the in-arena host at Amerant Bank Arena. If you've been to a Panther game in the last couple of years, there's no way you don't know her. Gabby Allen is with us now. Who does all the activations during the game, does all the fan interaction during the game. You see her on the Jumbotron throughout. Joined us a couple months ago. Welcome back. How are you, Gabby? What's going on?
I'm doing great. Welcome back to you guys. Back to the arena.
Back to the arena.
It's good to be back.
Yes. Last time we spoke, this was before they won again.
Yes.
Back to back. Tell us a little bit about what happened that day you won, because you won in this building.
Yes, we did.
In game six. So tell me a little bit about how that went down.
So I think we all kind of blacked out a little bit, but in the moment, because I have videos, so I know what happened.
Oh, so you recollect. Yeah.
Like, no, oh but I can live it back, right? I just remember it was towards the end of the game when we were kind of getting, you know, a little bit more comfortable in the moment, in the score. And so for me and my team, we all gathered around in my little stage area there, and everyone's just like holding on to everybody. I see dancers start crying. We're jumping up and down, and it was just incredible. And then I think I went home around, I don't know, 5 a.m., something like that.
Wow.
After, yeah, so then we went upstairs. All the staff had, we had like open bar. We got to celebrate with each other. Barkey was down on the ice lifting the cup. I think there's a few videos up around that.
Yep.
And it was just, it was so incredible. It really just amounts to that moment where we've worked so hard. We're so like in the grind, especially like year after year. And even though obviously rarely do you get one win, let alone back to back, you get two. So one, I feel very grateful to be a part of that, but it, I mean, a win is a win. It still feels so incredible. You get the goosebumps, and I mean, dare I say, we do it again.
And how was the celebrations afterwards, too?
Obviously,
were you on
La Sola? Week was crazy because these guys were all over the place.
And so,
there's no place like winning a title in South Florida.
Oh, no.
It's catered for this specific reason. Other teams win, and they come down here.
Yes.
This is at home base, so they don't even, they just have to walk outside.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, and what happened the first year we won, too, that week after, because we won on a Tuesday, it's spring break at that point. Everybody's on spring break, especially for like the staff. I mean, that's finally when like summer, I use air quotes when I say summer begins, but not really, because then we're prepping for like the parade and any other celebration stuff. And then I did go, me and my roommate, we went to 11 for that big celebration that night.
Yep.
So that was so much fun. And our in-house DJ, DJ Genesis, was the DJ for that night working the club.
So it was a Panther-centric.
It really was. Night. It was like all the family there. So we were, you know, together putting it on. The fans were awesome. I mean, I think I was even autographing some like jerseys and stuff. So it was cool just to see people you know and sharing in that camaraderie, especially in a space that, I mean, for me, everyone gets to party when they're here, but for me, that I got to really take part in too.
Did you get any time with the Cup?
I did get some time with the Cup. We actually, because it's during the off season too, it's like kind of moving around the building.
It's
we do photo
never
ops.
In one spot yeah. for a while. Yeah.
No, it's not. And so we recently too, right before the season started, we had our staff pictures. So they set up really great for the full time staff. We got to come in, bring like our immediate family, do some like personal photos, and then we did professional photos. We had a nice layout under the banner on the ice. So gorgeous. And it's just I let alone having back to back is
did
crazy.
You, did you booze out of the? You know, everyone always is drinking the booze
during
out
the staff
of,
photos.
Yeah,
yeah.
Was
who does, oh yeah, right after the parade
celebrations.
Of
right?
course, no, it's tradition, right?
Right.
Yes, right after the parade, they had a staff party, and so it was just making its way around.
It's like the chalice.
And so did COVID, I guess.
Are
at
you,
that point,
are you working during this event? Are you like doing? You're, I'm sure you're doing a bunch of activations.
Well, networking,
with,
probably. Yeah,
no, but like think about it. Are you doing Panther stuff, or is this just like, all right, we're celebrating, everybody's celebrating, the yeah. team's not playing, we're not playing as the staff. Is it
yeah,
a sort
I
of a mixture of both?
At least thankfully for my role personally.
We're not in the arena, guys. We're not in the arena.
We're not at the arena right, at that part. So it's really not that demanding for me. Obviously, I'm doing like social content, interacting with the fans. But I got to be a part of everything and walk in the parade. And, you know, even seeing the players' families being so, you know, they're all there, all the kids. First of all, these moms are incredible. I don't know how they, in the heat, with all this going on, I was overstimulated just looking at them, so they are absolute warriors. Good for
with
them.
Kids, yeah.
Absolutely, because it was so hot this year. We didn't have the rain. But, yeah, so it's like a little bit of work, but then it's
a lot of play.
A lot of play, and then right afterwards it's even more than that.
Now, how's this year gone so far? Obviously, a couple home games. Mm-hmm. Panthers are going to be home for a long time now. Big homestand
11 games,
up.
Yep.
Walk us through what this year has been like, you know, coming off two Cup wins.
Okay, coming off two – I think we were all looking at each other like, oh, the home opener already? Like, we're already back. Like, yeah. This was maybe a quick little
downtime.
That's
what happens
when
you play until June,
I
right?
know, yeah. back to another time. So it was just like, no, there wasn't real downtime. So it was easy for everybody to kind of just like jump right into it's already routine at this point. And just like right back in the flow. It's nice though, because like my team here, you know, they're like your work friends, but you're so close. So it was great getting back together. And no, like very much just right back into the grind of it. It's another game. We started the count over, obviously, but another game. And especially this end of the year, this first half of the season we're so heavy with home games.
Yeah.
So it's a lot lighter once we hit January. So yeah, as of today, we are really in the grind on these home games for sure.
Gabby Allen, the in-arena host for Amerant Bank Arena for the Florida Panthers with us now on Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3 live on site down in Sunrise. All right, so now you got it 11 games in a row. This almost feels like, you know how the players sometimes we'll say, oh, you know, an 11-game road trip. Or like, yeah. You know, this is sort of like, oh, my goodness.
Right, I get it. I'm the same. Just me and the players. We're the same.
And tell me about this. You know, third straight year now. Now everybody's, you know, the whispering of the three-peat. They're whispering. All right, can we get back?
No
to
one's
do it again?
Whispering. These fans are screaming.
Wow. Fair. You know, at this point of the season, they're like, all right, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves.
Right.
But coming back for the third go-round with a Stanley Cup to defend.
Yeah.
Being in the arena, seeing it every night. Do you notice anything different? Is the ticking, is there more pressure now? Do you notice it? Is there a little bit more tense, or is it everything as relaxed as possibly can be because you're a two-time defending Stanley Cup champion?
I think if we didn't have two of our main players down, it would probably be a little bit more just like, you know,
I think
you
could feel
hands
it.
Back.
I think
yeah,
could
it feels there's a little tension. For sure, there's a little bit of tension. I think the record kind of shows that, but we are a hard playing team, and that's not going to matter because, yeah, we have two guys out, but then there's the rest of them. Like, there's still everyone else, and they are. So I think what's cool is this really gives an opportunity for players who don't get as much time on ice to really shine, maybe have their, like, Tom Brady moment. Like, this could be your big, like, come out moment, show them what you got. So it's exciting, too, because we get to see other players, you know, show their skill and, you know, maybe have these incredible, like, wow moments. But, yeah, we are defending champions, so we want to hold that.
Now, Gabby, correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. Last time we spoke, it was your first go-around getting the in-arena hosting gig was as a replacement, right?
Yes.
When you first did it, so it was sort of like that.
5 years ago, yeah.
So when you have your moment.
Yes, you take
when you have your moment,
yes.
You got to take advantage and do not give that job back.
Mm-hmm. And, Gab, off of that, what year number is this now?
This is my eighth season with the team and my fifth season hosting.
Okay, what's been different about this year doing the in arena maybe compared to other years?
I mean, just like every fan, I'm holding my head a little bit higher. You know, I got two, and even higher than that with two championships right yep. under my belt too. So I think for me, it obviously just gets more turnkey, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so it's great too, because while I don't have to use my brain as much on that side, I get to really hang out, and I've developed a lot of relationships with fans. So I was just at some kids' like hockey game recently, and it's cool because like they become my friends too, and yep. it's great. We're just hanging out every game.
And now, obviously, it's a big commitment yeah. coming to every single game. But what does the off season look like? Do you travel? Is there somewhere you like to go and decompress? What does that look like for you?
So this past summer, and thankfully, because we planned it with the hope and, you know, just in case we went all the way again, maybe we should plan the summer
June.
Trip.
No June.
Right.
No June.
August, I did spend a couple weeks in Italy, and that was that was so nice. That was so lovely.
Where'd you go?
We started in Rome and then to Positano and then Florence.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
I lived in Florence for 5 months, so I know Italy quite a bit.
I love Florence. Yeah. Love,
that's
love,
better
love.
It's better than Rome. I don't know. I didn't get to go to Positano.
You didn't like Rome.
No, I don't. For me too, I'm just more of a, like, I like to be outside and do more things yeah. maybe in nature, you know, like a wine tour, you know.
Tuscany.
Like boat,
Tuscany.
Right, exactly.
Now, if I can, from someone who's never been to Italy and yeah. it's a Siciliano.
Self-proclaimed Siciliano, never been to Italy.
Never
see, that's
been.
Why
I'm
it's
half.
A joke.
My
it's
dad's
a joke.
100%.
Is that not stupid?
I hear that's how the
Listen,
Sicilians
that's a waste
are.
Of time. It's a waste
Listen,
of time.
My dad's 100%. My last name's Rizzo, Cap, okay?
Okay,
yes. Dad's 100%. Mom's Ukrainian. Regardless, is the food worth it?
Oh,
is
absolutely.
Is the food worth the
oh,
triple
yeah, yeah,
one,
yeah.
as we always
say?
It's
a waste
yeah.
of time. You
but anything
been?
That's
Stop
not, like, their version of American food,
working
just don't bother. Don't bother.
Yeah, I'm working bother. On going. I'm working on
the
going.
The Italian food, right. obviously, is next yeah. level. You're going to come home yep. and be like, well,
now,
are
you Italian?
This?
You Italian?
No. I'm not.
In Italy,
just
we're
when I was there.
In Italy,
I'm
we're Italian.
But I was
when we're there.
I was raised in a Jewish family, so, you know, okay. pretty close.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
close.
Yeah.
Volume,
a lot of similarities.
Volume,
a lot of similarities.
The same.
Now, year 5 in arena hosting with the yeah. Panthers, one thing that we also were talking about last time you were with us was you were getting into the podcast game. So
yeah.
you were understanding what it's like to now organize shows. It's a little mm-hmm. different than the in-arena host. Well, now we're a couple months into that.
Yeah.
Now you're back into this. What have you noticed about you doing in-arena hosting year 5 that mm-hmm. perhaps – has prepared you for the podcast game? Or on the other side of things, what has the podcast stuff, organizing shows, mm-hmm. helped you with your current job?
So I'd say first, from being on the host side, obviously I'm already comfortable in front of a camera. I've also, I spent some time as a reporter with NBC as well, mm-hmm. with a lifestyle and entertainment show. So I got comfortable doing interviews and conversing in that kind of style. Watching back, obviously we just dropped our 8th episode today, actually. It's called I'm With Her Podcast. And
there you go. Good
we.
Plug.
Thank you. I do what I get. Yeah. So, and I've noticed too, while I take a lot of pride in being an active listener, I don't have to say yeah every other second. So I've watching and playing it back when you hear yourself. It, I feel like it never
that.
Stops being weird to okay. hear yourself a little bit.
It's the biggest. It's the hardest part. Air checking yourself.
Yes.
It's listening to yourself back and air checking yourself.
I feel like
get
I'm
over
just
it.
Like I know. No, exactly. Get over it. Get
yeah.
over it, because I want to be better at what
it's
I
hard
do.
Though. I'm
exactly. 100%. So I think just that comfort as far as just like yapping and to a camera mm-hmm. Has been really helpful. But also too, my producer for the for our podcast is the same as one of my producers here, and was with me producing at NBC. So she's
nice.
Made this like
now,
gravy for
now,
me easy.
Now, how can we listen? How can
okay.
we listen? Where do we go?
Every listening platform, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, everywhere you would listen to or watch a podcast is going to be right there too.
Well, Abby, hopefully we see, or Gabby, we see the team get back onto the win column tonight. We appreciate the time.
Yes.
Thank you so much for
yeah,
telling us about the off season, and hopefully
yes.
you'll have another third one to celebrate here. We'll be
yep.
back around this
yes.
time.
Absolutely.
A dynasty, if you will. Guys, thank you
yep.
so much. I love coming on here. Fans listening, go Cats.
Yep.
There you go.
Thanks,
Gabby Allen, the in-arena host for Amerant Bank Arena and the Florida Panthers. But Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, will do our top 10 on the other side. First, the Boca Bowl is coming back to town December 23rd, 2 p.m. at Flagler Credit Union Stadium down in Boca. So we're up in Boca compared
yep.
to where we are. It's going to have two of the top teams from the Group of Five that are going to battle that for their chance at the title. Check it out today. Twitter at Boca Bowl or Facebook.com/Boca Bowl for more updates as we inch closer to that December 23rd date, 2 p.m. at Flagler Credit Union Stadium. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Folks, you hear me talk about Good Greek Moving and Storage all the time. Well, I got a message from them. We want you to get ready. for one of the biggest rivalries in college football. The Florida State Seminoles are taking on the Florida Gators, and you could be there live, courtesy of my friends over at Good Greek Moving and Storage. They're giving away 4 premium tickets so you and your crew can catch every touchdown, every hard hit, and every unforgettable moment from the stands. Feel the electric energy as these two teams go head-to-head for bragging rights in the Sunshine State. All you got to do is go to goodgreekmoving.com and fill out the entry form. That is goodgreekmoving.com. You fill out that entry form. No purchase necessary. Everyone has a chance to win. So the winner will be announced on November 21st. Again, visit Good Greek Moving for your chance to win 4 tickets to the UF and FSU game in Gainesville. And Christian, it is that time of the week where we got to put together our top 10 NFL teams with our NFL Power Rankings presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage.
Who's moving up?
Eagles still best team in the NFL. You know that they're not distracted.
Who's moving down?
I'm down on the Packers. This is going to be a major problem. We'll see.
It's time for the Russo and Rizzo NFL Power Rankings. Presented by
Good Greek Moving and Storage. Your superhero movers.
All right, you hear me talk about my friends at Good Greek all the time. Go to GreekMoving.com, folks, GreekMoving.com. All right, last week.
So, yeah, I wasn't here for last week's rankings. What did
you
put together?
Weren't here, so it was Kate Chumsland and myself.
Okay.
We put Kansas City at 10, Detroit at 9, Tampa Bay at 8, Philly at 7, Indianapolis at 6, New England at 5, L.A. at 4, Buffalo 3, Denver 2, Seattle 1.
I now, have one a lot thing, of problems with this.
One thing is certain. One thing is certain. Buffalo is way down. The Rams are way up. And I think the top 3, Kyle.
Where is Seattle there?
I put Seattle at 1.
Oh, okay.
I put Seattle at 1. So I think the top 3, it's probably – and I know we're working away from the backup, but I think Rams, Seahawks, and Patriots are probably the 3 best teams in the NFL right now.
Where'd you put the Colts? You put them at 5?
I put the Colts at 6. So once again, Kansas City 10, Detroit 9, Tampa 8, Philly 7, Colts 6 coming off of that loss at Pittsburgh. New England 5, Rams 4, Buffalo 3 coming off the win against Kansas City, Denver 2, Seattle 1.
Okay.
So I think that do we want the Chiefs in the top 10? That's a question you got to ask yourself. They were idle. Do they get punished for being idle? Because at this point, Kyle, Tampa Bay, Kansas City,
You're not putting Tampa in there.
You got to decide which team is going to be out.
And you put the Chargers in there? 6-3, head-to-head win over the Chiefs.
They keep winning games.
They got the Jags this week. Chiefs have the Broncos. So if the Chiefs want to jump in, I would say Chiefs first team out.
Okay.
And Chargers at 10.
Okay. Let's do it that way. Yeah, so Chargers at 10.
Number 10.
And then at 9, Kyle.
Number 9.
We had Detroit last week.
Detroit's moving up.
Okay. Tampa. Is this somewhere we put Tampa?
Where was Tampa last week?
Tampa was 8, and they lost to New England.
Yes,
so we put Tampa at 9, and now
number 8.
All right. Philadelphia, Indianapolis, Tampa Bay. You got to figure out who you're going to put there.
We're going to put Tampa Bay at 8, at 9.
So Philly and Indy, I feel like, is who would probably be checking it. Detroit.
All right. You're definitely putting Indy higher. You're putting the cheat.
Is this Detroit?
Lions play the Eagles this weekend. So the one thing is, if you're going to put the Lions, you can put the Eagles right next to them, and the winner gets a big bump. So you could do Lions at 8, Eagles at 7.
I think that's how we got to do it.
Number 7.
Lions 8, Eagles 7. And now, Christian,
number six.
This is where it gets tough. Now, Buffalo. Do you punish Buffalo and put them at 6? I had them at 3 last week. Do you put Buffalo at 6 here?
Yes.
So, Christian.
Buffalo had a bad. I'm okay with moving the Buffalo farther down, but you know what? We already put our 7 and 8 together. They're playing each other.
You know they're going to win a couple of games.
All right, so we got Buffalo at 6.
Now, this is where it gets juicy. Rams.
Who do we have left? We have the Rams, Seattle.
Yes. New England and Denver. Rams,
New England,
Rams,
Denver.
Seattle, New England,
well, we
Denver.
Need, well, we need one more team.
Rams, Seattle, New England, Denver. Did we put Indianapolis?
No, we did not. Colts are that 15.
Okay.
Indy probably checks in at 5 if I had to guess. Would you agree?
I would say Denver at 5.
What? They won 8 games in a row.
Well, Indy beat Denver. Okay. Indy beat Denver, first game of the year. Denver has looked so much uglier than the Colts have at this point. They're 8-2. I mean, they've had, they escaped the Falcons game. Hey, you want to punish them for that? How many games did the Denver Broncos escape?
Christian, let's go four.
Number four.
Okay.
This is where you put the Colts. Okay. Colts are at four. Denver's at five. Colts are at four. Denver escapes every game they play, and I'm surprised you guys are so high.
I mean, they've won eight in a row. Kyle, trust me.
Yeah, they've won eight in a row, but I mean, not a single game has been pretty.
But it's something to be said about winning.
Bo Nix last Thursday night was horrendous.
Three, Christian.
Number three.
Rams for Seattle here.
Seattle's going to be number one.
I agree with Seattle. I agree with Seattle.
Seattle's going to be 1-1. Rams are at two. Who's three? Who did you miss?
So
Colts, Denver, Rams, Seattle. Who else
correct.
Is in the top five?
It was Colts. Last week it was New England. We're missing New England. Sorry, folks. I got a full-on ban.
You're
behind
reading
me.
It. It's your list.
Yes,
you're reading it.
New England. So
Seattle,
you got to decide who one,
Patriots
two, three
are three,
is. Okay.
Two are Rams. One is Seattle.
Correct.
No problem.
Number
I like
one.
That.
Christian, thank you to my great friends at Good Greek Moving and Storage.
That's all right. Seahawks, Rams, and Patriots. Top three. That's it. That's your top 10. Live from Amerant Bank Arena. Enjoy the Capitals and Panther game night. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, ESPN 106.